Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is the Funville 9, driven by AAA, the official podcast of the Richmond Flying Squirrels. Here's your host, Trey Wilson.
Hello and welcome to episode 9 of the Funville 9, driven by AAA. I'm Flying Squirrels broadcaster and director of communications, Trey Wilson, and here on this show each episode, we take you behind the scenes with the faces and figures of the Richmond Flying Squirrels world. On this episode, I'm joined by 2019 Flying Squirrels pitcher Sean Jelly, and we'll get to our chat with Sean in just a moment. Don't forget, you can catch the debuts of these episodes every Monday night on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and on FM at 105.1 here in the Richmond, Virginia area or anywhere through the radio.com app or on thefanrichmond.com. They'll either air at 5 or 6 o'clock each week, depending on what week it is and when the Washington Nationals broadcasts begin, but you can find a schedule at thefanrichmond.com and also on squirrelsbaseball.com. And, of course, be sure, if you haven't already, to go back and check out some of the other episodes of this show. We've had some great chats with Flying Squirrels players like Jacob Hayward, Jalen Miller, Caleb Berger, and Tyler Sear, plus some really good chats with longtime MLB pitcher and Flying Squirrels pitching coach Steve Klein, former Major League pitcher and now co-owner and operator of Center of the Universe Brewing Company, Chris Ray, as well as the debut episode from a couple months ago with Parney, the CEO of the Flying Squirrels. Lots of good stuff in there to go back and check out. And shoot us a line. Tell us what you'd like to hear on the show. You can find the Flying Squirrels on Twitter at Ghost Squirrels, or you can send me a note on Twitter at TreyWilson757. Let us know who you'd like to hear us have on, what kind of stuff you want to hear us talk about, whatever else. We've loved hearing the feedback we've gotten so far, and welcome anything else you all have to say. And now on to our conversation with Sean Jelly. Sean is a native of Minnesota, and he was a star pitcher at the University of Kentucky for 3 years prior to being selected by the San Francisco Giants in the second round of the 2018 MLB draft. And at 6'11", he's one of the tallest players in the history of professional baseball. Sean is a big-time prospect with the San Francisco Giants organization, and he pitched with us in Richmond with the Flying Squirrels last year during the 2019 season. Sean is always great to chat with, and I'm looking forward to doing that here today. Sean, thanks so much for taking some time to join us, man. First of all, congrats on the birth of your son. You and your wife welcomed George back in the spring. How's new dad life going for you?
Thank you. And it's going pretty well. Obviously, the sleep schedule is a bit of an adjustment, but we got in a pretty good routine now, and it's pretty awesome. I mean, everything that's been going on with the pandemic and quarantine and whatnot, it's been a pretty nice silver lining, actually, to just have 4 straight months of just devoting time to being with the family and being with him. So it's been great.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess this is kind of a blessing in disguise that there's no baseball this year. I mean, we all miss it, and there are a lot of downside negatives to that, but I guess if you're focusing on the positives for you, it really opens up a chance to get to enjoy a whole bunch of time with your new family that you wouldn't have had otherwise, because you would have been running around playing ball for 6 months.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I would have never thought to have had this much time with my family. So just taking every day that I can get. Absolutely.
So aside from being a new dad and all that goes into that, what else are you up to these days? Where are you staying? I think you're living in the Richmond area now, right?
We were in the Richmond area because that's where Caroline's from. And so we've been staying with her parents, and they've been a good help with George when we need him there and whenever we need a little bit of a break. So I've been able to go to the Diamond and work out pretty much every single day and still train and stay up to date. But we actually are moving to Kentucky now, and so we're kind of in the middle of that process right now. And we moved into the house, and then we're taking a little vacation because we can, and then we'll finish moving here when we get back.
Yeah, I saw you a couple times up at the Diamond, some of the few times that I've been up there. I guess you were getting some work in with Matt Wynn. At least you had somebody in the area that you could throw to every now and then, right?
Oh, yeah. No, Matt was there every day, and he was great to have for me because, you know, he could actually, I couldn't just throw with him, but I could throw bullpens when I needed. And, it's so much better to train with somebody else. It's hard to work out on your own for 4 months straight, let alone even a week straight. But just having someone else there to kind of push you, and you can push them, and it's fun. Joe T's got that Golden Tee machine there. We played a ton of Golden Tee. We could still play cards and hang out, and it was a little bit of a sense of normalcy, which was nice. But still, it was weird having that empty clubhouse there, for sure. It was just almost eerie.
Yeah, for sure. It's weird being at the ballpark in the middle of the summer and not having all y'all around, and not doing the bus rides and all those things that we're used to doing this time of year. So I guess that's kind of how you've been staying baseball sharp, right? Getting some work in with guys like Matt. Do you have something lined up now for when you get to Kentucky where you can do some work and get some pitching in?
Yeah. It's a little bit of a not stickier, but there's going to be some more rules and guidelines going to Kentucky, just because it's campus and university, and there's going to be more regimented times when I can go in and train and work out and throw, but should still be able to do all that. It just won't be as free flowing as being able to go to the Diamond whenever I can, because there's no one else there in terms of fans and players and such. So I can I could go and show up whenever I wanted there, but be a little bit more structured in Kentucky. But yeah, I can still go back to school and work out with my old strength coach there and get everything done that I need to get done.
It's great that you have that option available. So you went to the University of Kentucky, but before you went to school in Lexington, you grew up in the Minneapolis area. I know you're from Minnesota, but you're from the Minneapolis area, right? Not too far outside of the city?
I'd say more so St. Paul. But Twin Cities, they're right next to each other. They blend together. So frequented Minneapolis, but I grew up a little bit outside St. Paul more so. But being in the Richmond summer was new and the same, because it can get humid up there, but not quite as horribly humid as Richmond can get with the daily thunderstorms for an hour, and then it's just even more humid, and then it just keeps piling on top of each other. That was definitely an adjustment.
Yeah, it's funny, right before you said that, I'm pretty sure I just heard a roll of thunder coming in from the west somewhere. So it sounds like,
about right.
Yeah, mid-afternoon storm coming in right now in the RVA. So
it's weird when it doesn't storm there,
right? I mean, for the past like 2.5-3 weeks, it seems like every day we've had a thunderstorm and plenty of rain. Mm-hmm. Definitely keeping the grass growing and all that kind of stuff. But growing up in the Minnesota, St. Paul, Minneapolis area, it's pretty cold up there. How did you get in all the baseball work growing up that you needed to get on to play the next level, to play at D1? Because it seems like it'd be kind of a challenge, because you can't really get outside as early as a lot of guys in the South would be able to do.
I mean, just indoor facilities. And by that, I mean, in high school, I just meant our gymnasium. But there's more indoor stuff, and then all the fall travel ball stuff. You just don't do that at home. I mean, I remember Halloween, we always did the Kansas City Monster Bash tournament. I think we did that like 8 years in a row. We went down to Arizona, Florida, and anywhere that would have us, basically, where the weather was going to be somewhat decent. So it's more travel. I mean, I can't just play in my home field 24/7 year round, but we can still get not quite as much baseball as everybody else, but we can get a good amount of competitive baseball and still.
Yeah, it just takes a little bit of extra effort. Now, did you play any other sports? I'm sure you played basketball, being as tall as you are, being 6'11", right?
Yeah, I think it would have been, I would have pissed a lot of people off if I'd done not played basketball, because obviously the height. But no, I played basketball in high school. It was just baseball, basketball for me. But obviously as a kid, I played as much as I could and ran around. And I tried soccer for, I think, a year. But then I realized that my foot to eye coordination skill is nowhere close to any other coordination that I have. So I quickly gave that one up.
I mean, don't shortchange yourself. For being 6'11", you're pretty athletic. I mean, you're pretty athletic for somebody of any type, but just even watching you in the field a little bit, I got to see. Maybe that basketball playing helped out with some of that. We see some guys who are, you know, in that height range, 6'7", to and up, and you know, we don't see a lot of guys at where you're at, but that are kind of stumbling around on the field, but you seem pretty athletic. Would you say that's fair?
I mean, I guess, yeah. I like to think that I stay upright most of the time, but if you keep watching, you'll see me fall down a time or two. That's a guarantee right there.
At AAA, we've seen breakdowns, lockouts, and full stops. 118 years of them. So trust us when we say we can get through anything by navigating it together. See how we're helping to keep you safe. Visit AAA.com/keepmoving.
Well, how did you end up at Kentucky, at the University of Kentucky? I know that you had a really successful collegiate career there, but in your recruiting process coming out of high school, being in Minnesota, obviously you traveled all over the country to get some playing in. I'm sure you got seen in some of those tournaments that you played in, but what ended up getting you to Lexington?
It was honestly just random per chance happening. That was kind of a last minute thing. The big thing in Minnesota is Legion ball. Legion baseball. So I was playing in a tournament and I got invited to go throw like a 10-15 pitch bullpen at an area code tryout the day after a Legion tournament. So I threw on Sunday like 90-100 pitches or whatever, and then I had that bullpen on Monday. So I went, and the guy I'll never forget, he was a Baltimore Orioles area scout. I got up on the mound, he said, throw these 10 as hard as you can, who cares where they go. And I did that. My arm was hanging. I couldn't feel it. I was literally shaking. But it just so happened that the Kentucky recruiting coordinator at the time happened to be there and I guess liked what he saw and invited me on campus. And that was really it. As soon as I got on campus at Kentucky, I knew that that's where I wanted to be. And that was the place for me. But it was, and I got invited to that bullpen 2 or 3 days before it happened. Cause I guess there was, you know, they had a roster open, someone dropped out later, whatever. So it was couple of days to, you know, not happening, where I probably would have gone to a different school and ended up somewhere else. So it was meant to happen, and it was a small window, but I made it through.
Crazy how those these random opportunities come up and get you to where you're going in the baseball world especially. So I've been to Lexington a few times. It's a pretty awesome town. Obviously you like it because you're going back there and you're going to make it home for a while, but Lexington's a pretty great place. I've been to Rupp Arena about 10 years ago, saw a game there. That was an awesome experience. What was your Lexington experience like, and did you cheer on some of those other sports teams there at UK when you weren't on the field playing ball?
Oh, absolutely. I didn't grow up in a college town. I mean, obviously, you know, the University of Minnesota is close, but it wasn't like I grew up in a place that was like Lexington or pretty much any of the cities and towns in the SEC where it's a college town and we're devoted to that university. So that whole experience was just awesome. I loved it. It was just enough of a Southern culture shock for me. I think the running joke is that Kentucky is the northernmost the Southerner will go and the southernmost the Northerner will go. So it was, you know, I got immersed into that a little bit, but it wasn't, I think if I'd have gone a little bit farther down to, you know, like the Bayou or Mississippi, it would have been much more of a larger culture shock for me coming out of high school, because I grew up in my little glass bubble up there in Minnesota where everybody was just so friendly and passive aggressive. My college experience was great. I love Lexington, obviously. Like you said, I'm moving back there, and yeah, it was great. I went to the basketball games as much as I could. I remember Kansas came into town, and I made sure I went to that game. I was not going to miss Kansas coming into town. We lost that game, but who was it? Justin Jackson? The name's running together, but he'd scored like 37 points or something like that for Kansas, and they came back and won in the second half. And as a pure basketball fan, it was a great game to watch, but obviously as a Kentucky fan, I was mad afterwards. I didn't actually frequent football games. We watched them on TV because, you know, we had Saturday scrimmages, practices and stuff, so we didn't get to go to as many of the games, but we definitely watched them for sure when we could. So yeah, it was overall just a great experience.
I guess you're keeping up with that Kentucky fandom some.
I did go. We went to the UK Louisville basketball game this past year. We did go to that one.
Oh man, that would be awesome.
It's a good game.
Bucket
that's list. Always a good game.
Yeah, bucket yeah. list for me. So coming out of Kentucky, the Giants picked you up in the second round of the MLB draft back in 2018. What do you remember about your draft process and getting taken by the Giants?
It was kind of weird and unfortunate, actually. So I was hoping to hear my name on that first day, and just talking to my agent, that's what, you know, he was thinking as well. And so had a little gathering with my family, watching the draft. It's on TV, and the first round ends, and we didn't know that only the first round is televised. And so it just cuts out, and it's just analysts talking, and we're just like, well, isn't the draft still going? And we didn't know that the second round was all on like the internet or on the stream. So I didn't actually see my name like get called. We got the stream, and it was like three or four picks later that, you know, we actually got the stream active on. So I didn't, I had gotten a phone call, but I didn't tell my family because I wanted them to see it. And so they were sitting there and had no idea, but I, you know, I knew. So yeah, that was just kind of like a weird mistiming with all that. Obviously was thrilled and extremely blessed with that happening. And I think I got down to Arizona maybe like 4 or 5 days later after that, packed up my stuff and went down there. And I mean, the rest is history. I got right into it as soon as I could. And I spent about a week, maybe about 10 days down in Arizona, just kind of, they make sure I was fine and kind of getting emerged and everything. And then they sent me up to Salem and played short season there. And yeah, that was the start of everything. It was kind of a blur at first, just moving around and hopping on. It seemed like I was hopping on airplanes left and right, and finally got settled in Salem and started the whole career.
Yeah, what a journey that must be, bouncing around all that uncertainty and, you know, the butterflies of wondering who's going to pick you and where. And then all of a sudden, especially if you sign pretty quickly, you know, that's happening and you're off and running, and life is different. This is no longer, I think that Tyler Sears said last week, at a certain point he realized, hey, this is no longer like a hobby. This is the real deal now. I'm getting paid to do this, and this is my job now.
Oh, yeah. No, and, you know, I think that hits guys at different moments. Of, you know, this is a profession now. Like, I'm like, this isn't just college. It's not for fun. It's not like this is all my own 100% my responsibility. And it just hits guys at different times. And I think Sears lucky, you know, he's lucky to realize it that early, because, you know, some guys it's a process, and, you know, it takes a couple of slaps in the face here and there. And, I definitely got slapped in the face a little bit when that first year when I could only pitch, you know, two innings because they wanted me at an innings limit. And I took it somewhat lackadaisical because, oh, it's only two innings. It doesn't. It's just two innings. I was just kind of a little mad and a little whatever. And then I told my dad that, and he was just like, you got to understand that, like, this isn't college anymore. Like this is your career. No one's going to come up to you and be like, hey, why are you taking it like this way? Why are you like, you have to realize and wake up yourself, because like, you're getting paid to do this. This is your profession. It's all in your own hands. I was lucky, you know, he said those words to me. Otherwise, who knows how quickly it would have taken me to get slapped in the face again.
Yeah, it's a big realization to have. I know some guys, especially when you have so much success in college and then you get into pro ball, and all of a sudden, even in the short season, it's a much different animal that you're trying to tackle. So yeah, they kept you in Salem Kaiser. They kept you to two innings an outing at max. And I mean, it makes sense, because your season, when you're in college, of course, your first game are in like mid-February. So you had been pitching for a long time at that point. You probably made 15 appearances, 14, 15 starts for Kentucky that spring and into the summer, and then, you know, a little bit of a layoff and then trying to pick it back up again. So was that kind of the thought process, was that you had just already had such a big workload that year that they were just trying to make sure to keep you healthy?
Yeah, that was the thought process. It was, you know, we just want you to kind of get your feet wet with pro ball and how this process is going to work, and the 5-day rotation rather than, you know, it's seven in college, and making those adjustments to the routine and all that sort of stuff. It was a lot easier to do that and save the arm on just doing two innings. That was the thought process. And it was, and, you know, obviously I wanted to throw more, but on kind of hindsight, looking back, I'm able to realize that, okay, that was good and the smart thing to do, because I was able to develop a routine that worked for me. It saved my arm. I didn't have to worry about, you know, blowing it out per se that year and risking that happening. So it was definitely the good thing to do for me. Absolutely. Even though I don't like the ball being taken out of my hand as most pitchers don't.
Yeah. You guys can be a little bit hardheaded sometimes, but that's part of the mentality that often makes a good competitive pitcher.
Oh.
So
yeah, it's not hardheaded. It's just competitive.
It's competitive. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So you got into your first full pro season 2019. The Giants kind of moved you along pretty quickly. You put up really good numbers in Augusta, earned a promotion to San Jose by mid-May, and they say the California League is a really tough place to pitch, but you performed very well there. And I remember looking at the numbers and stuff, you had an insanely high ground ball rate. How were you able to keep balls inside the yard in a league where players hit home runs at such a high rate?
I remember my college pitching coach said the same thing, is that I have a really high ground ball rate, and I'm a pitch to contact guy, or at least that's kind of what I've been trying to identify. I've tried to take based off that is that high rate. I'm just going to pitch to contact, and hopefully, you know, low pitch count and many innings is the, you know, ideal thought process there. The only thing I can really think of that makes me that much more unique is just the height and the angle, and just coming down on guys that you know, that you don't see 7-footer coming at that angle every single day as a hitter. So I think just creating that unique angle and that downhill action just helps me force the hitters to put the ball on the ground. Obviously, you know, the California League with the winds and the short parks and everything, I mean, there's some home runs that you see in that league where you're just like, man, it looked like he got jammed on that. And then you ask the hitter, oh yeah, I did get jammed. It you know, still went over the fence by like 30 feet. You're just like, oh wow, I, you know, better keep the ball down here, otherwise it's just gonna fly. Like Lancaster is just an absolute launching pad. I mean, it's like 35 mile an hour winds blowing out, and it's just like, whoa. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're standing on the mound and the wind is just blowing through you in your face, and you're like, how, like, they touch a ball and it's going out, like it's going out on the highway. How am I going to do this? How am I keeping the ball in the yard here? Anyway, sorry, that was I digress on that, but
no, love the insight.
Yeah, I attribute it to just that, creating that unique angle of just the height and the downhill action. Hopefully I can do that most days. Some days I don't.
Well, from the California League, you went off to the Eastern League, which is very much the other way around, especially pitching at the Diamond, because the Diamond can be kind of a graveyard. It's a pretty big park, really big in the alleys and stuff.
Well, yeah, center field is in Goochland County.
Yeah, pretty much. It does feel like it. And yeah, so the Diamond is huge. So you got, after your time in San Jose, 14 starts with the San Jose Giants, and then San Francisco sends you to AA, you with Joey Bart, Elliot Ramos, in early August, right about the beginning of August. When you set out for the 2019 season, did you have any expectations at all of getting all the way to AA that year?
That was my goals, my personal goals was actually to break in San Jose and at least get promoted to AA was my goal for my year. And just in terms of that, in terms of the physical movement and promotions and all that sort of stuff within the organization, those are my goals. Obviously, I started the year in Augusta and I, you know, took it as a challenge, and obviously, you know, it wasn't a slap in the face whatsoever. Again, hindsight, I needed it. I needed to go to Augusta and start there and work my way to San Jose and just kind of start that process, because I needed to adjust my game going from Augusta to San Jose, and I needed to adjust it again going from San Jose to Richmond and just continue that development. And just in terms of promotions and moving through the system, that was my goal, was to at a minimum make it to Richmond and stay there, obviously, during the 2019 season and see if, you know, beyond happens. But yeah, that was kind of like my minimum goal there for last year.
Well, you hit that mark and you got a few starts in AA, and, you know, they say historically the AA is the biggest and toughest jump for a lot of players in their journeys through the minors, especially with you having such a limited amount of pro experience getting to that point. Did you feel like that was the case? Could you feel the separation between the competition and all the other factors from the California League and high A to AA when you got to Richmond?
Yeah, you could definitely see a lot of differences in hitters, just through and through, an overall better lineup and just mentally their approaches. I mean, starting in AA, especially in the Eastern League, you got a lot of guys who have debuted and had their day in the sun. And so they know what it takes to get there. And they just, their approach is just that much better. And I mean, even guys that have been in that league for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, a lot of guys and most of the players in the California League and in Augusta, it's their first, maybe even second year. But a lot of guys, you know, starting in that Eastern League, there are some guys I remember, you know, 3, 4 years. And so they just were familiar with how pitchers pitch in that league, how they throw, especially, you know, from different organizations. So just being able to make that mental adjustment in my game plan and how I approach it and just having those conversations with the catcher and the pitching coach that day of how we're going to go about it and being able to tweak the plan and attack just to keep them on their toes so they can't sit back and be comfortable. That was a huge jump because, you know, that still got to put the ball, you know, the, in terms of the physical, you know, I still got to throw strikes. I got to throw the ball where I want. That doesn't change whatever level you're at. It's just how you're going to go about it. The different ways you got to get a guy out, you know, 2, 3, 4 times through a lineup.
Now, for you being in your first full season last year in 2019, was there kind of a feeling of some wear from such a long season at that point? You know, you made 28 starts last year by the time everything was all wrapped up and, you know, pitching all the way into almost Labor Day. And I know that when you're growing up, you play in these tournaments and all this stuff, but it seems like it would be a much different challenge to try and tackle going out there making almost 30 starts and doing it pretty much every 5 days.
I was fortunate enough. I felt good the whole year last year. And, you know, there's ebbs and flows throughout the whole season for everybody. I mean, certain starts you feel better and than other starts in terms of, you know, I got 100% tank or I've got 90 or, I mean, that's just the natural progression of a season for any athlete. That's, you know, going back to Salem, you know, the 2-8 starts, that's where you start that routine of how's my body going to respond to this after a game where I throw that many innings or that many pitches or and then I do it on that 5-day rotation. So just creating that routine and having that constant communication between the coaching staff, the trainer, the strength coach, and just how you can tweak it day to day, rotation to rotation, to keep my body as best in shape and keep my arm as fresh as I possibly can all the time. I mean, it's got to be a constant communication. It's got to constantly change. Otherwise, you know, you stick to one thing and you're just going to get stuck there and your body won't be able to adapt. So if I only got 80% of the tank today, I know what I have to do to still be able to get 5-6 innings out of a game rather than I got 80%, I can give you 3 or 4. So just starting that as soon as I could in my career and up in Salem and just continuing that every day is really what will really help me, just being able to have that constant change in the routine. It was great for me. I was fortunate to stay pretty fresh and healthy all of last year, and obviously going to try and continue that for as long as I possibly can.
Yeah, absolutely. You closed out the year pretty strong. You made a couple of good starts to finish out 2019 with Richmond. When you look back at 2019 as a whole, you got your first full professional season under your belt. You passed through 3 different levels. How do you feel about how 2019 went?
Well, again, like I just said, I stayed healthy for the whole year. So that's a victory right there. And that's, I feel great about that and comfortable about, you know, going forward for, you know, well, next year now, I guess. It was going to be this year. But that was obviously a great feeling to stay healthy the whole year. But felt good. I felt like I made progress just in terms of, you know, physical throwing the baseball talent. But like I said, mainly just that mental approach and that game plan to be able to keep hitters on their toes. I took some good steps, just working with the pitching coaches and coordinators last year. And obviously that's another evolving process. You know, I can't just find one game plan that works one game and then hopefully it works for every single game. Otherwise I'm not going to have a very long career if I keep doing that. So overall I felt good. I was happy. I was able to make it to Richmond, making that jump. I don't think I last year 100% made that jump. I had a couple starts where I definitely got very humbled by some lineups for sure. But even those starts, a lot to take from those. And just, I mean, overall long-winded, I felt really good about last year. I was happy with the progress I made and just hoping to keep that progress going moving forward in the coming years.
Part of that progression coming into this year, coming into 2020, the Giants gave you an invitation to Major League Spring Training and you got to spend some time with the big league club down in Scottsdale. What was that experience like for you coming in year 2, and getting to be around all these big league guys and big league coaches and in the big league clubhouse at Major League Spring Training?
That was great because obviously, you know, that's one of the goals that you want to be able to check off as a professional baseball player is that first, you know, big league invite and obviously try and keep it going from there. So that was just great. I I was a little bit in awe when I got that phone call, which was, it was pretty great. But they told me right away, like, hey, you're here to be a sponge. Like, obviously you're not going to break with the team this year to start off the season. Like, you're here to be a sponge to help prep yourself for your season. And I kind of figured and I took that to heart and I just tried to soak up as much as I could. Because, I mean, you look at the years of experience in that clubhouse and the championships and the All-Stars and the amount of accolades that the veterans have in that clubhouse. It's a long list. And so just trying to take as much as I can from what those guys were willing to talk to me about, teach me about, and just watching them day to day and how they work. And it was a great experience and took a lot from it, and hoping to be able to take some more hopefully next year and years to come. And yeah, that was a very humbling and an awesome experience to be there and be a part of that.
Founded in 1996, SICOM is an award-winning IT systems integrator headquartered in Richmond with offices throughout Virginia. Their focus is on mid-Atlantic companies, healthcare organizations, educational institutions, and governments looking to improve their technology return on investment. SICOM is a trusted partner to deliver a range of IT solutions and services that keep companies connected. Named as one of the top workplaces in Richmond, SICOM is also the employer of choice for the best talent in the region and are committed to providing outstanding and memorable service.
Now, you and Joey Bart both got to get the invitation to big league spring training this year. You both moved up to Richmond last year. Kind of the 1-2 punch from that 2018 draft class for the Giants. You two have spent quite a bit of time together. The relationship with a pitcher and a catcher is pretty important. And Giants fans want to see you two working together for a long time to come and having a lot of success. So
we do too.
Yeah, absolutely. How have you two worked together so far, and what's it like working with a catcher like Joey, who gets a lot of praise for what he can do, you two being kind of the top two guys from that 2018 draft class?
I love working with Joey just for the simple fact of there's no beating around the bush. There's no BS. It's, hey, man, like, what'd you see on that pitch? What do I need to do better? And it's just that instant feedback. And he won't kind of inflate my ego a little bit or try and make me feel better, which I really appreciate from well, anybody, but especially the guy that's behind the plate and has got the best view of all my stuff. And so that communication is just really helpful for me, just being able to figure out, like, okay, like that pitch wasn't as good as I thought it was. So let's try and make it better. So that communication is really the key, I feel like, in our relationship, but also just almost any pitcher catcher or teammate relationship, just being able to communicate with each other and understand that if I say something to Joey or vice versa that the other person doesn't really like to hear, but might be tough to hear, but it's good for us, like, we got to know that part is just really nice, to be able to just kind of have that trust and that respect of one another. And obviously I don't really need to speak to his talent and what he can do on the field. I think he does that for himself, just what he does day to day and what he can prove that he can do on the field. The guy loves to just compete, and just, he's a gamer. He just loves to play, and it's fun to watch him do that. It's always fun. I've watched him stretch out a lot of triples, and I think everybody thinks that he's just going to Cadillac it for a double because, you know, he's a catcher. He can't run. He can't do that. And then he busted out for a triple, and it's funny watching some of the fielders because they're just sitting there like, did he really just do that? Like, he legged that out, a catcher. So yeah, it's just fun to watch a guy that loves the game just go out there and just compete and play for the love of the sport.
Well, Sean, it was a lot of fun getting to watch you pitch with Richmond last year, and the trio of you three that came up all at the same time with you and Joey and Elliot Ramos. There was a lot of fun energy that came with you three joining the team for the last month of the season. I'm gonna let you get back to George and let you get back to your wife and enjoying some vacation time before you got to finish everything up with that move. Thanks so much for taking some time to join us for this. I'm really appreciative of your time and letting us in on some of this insight of your path to how you've gotten to where you're at today.
No, absolutely. You know, thanks for having me on, Troy. I appreciate it. So yeah, anytime.
All right, man. Hope we get to catch up again at some point soon.
Sounds good to me.
Life constantly throws us curveballs, and this year has been full of them. With so many people working from home or driving less, Elephant Insurance believes your rates should reflect that. That's why they've lowered their auto rates to help their drivers save. It's just one more way they've managed to stay flexible while staying true to what matters most, our community. See how Elephant can help you save by starting your quote process today at elephant.com. Elephant, insurance on your terms. And that's a wrap for this week's episode of the Funville 9 driven by AAA. Thanks so much for listening. Make sure you check out all the other episodes if you get a chance to. Keep an eye out for some more episodes coming up. They debut every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts across the internet and, of course, on thefanrichmond.com. Also, be sure to check out the safe, socially distanced outings we've got coming up at the Diamond. Movies in the Outfield continues, a unique opportunity to watch movies on the big video board of the ballpark in a safe and healthy environment. Plus, we've adjusted our Friday happy hours to now be party in the Plaza every Friday evening with drinks and food and music. All of these events have been designed with safety in mind as the number one priority. For a party in the Plaza, we've got tables set up and spread out appropriately with contactless pickup options for your food orders. So if you're in the Richmond area, come on out, wear your mask, and join us while keeping a safe distance, of course. And you can find out all the information for these events at squirrelsbaseball.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time on the Funville 9, driven by AAA.
You've been listening to the Funville 9, driven by AAA, the official podcast of the Richmond Flying Squirrels.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.